Critics of enshrining an Indigenous voice to Parliament in the Constitution have warned the issue risks distracting from more tangible problems like domestic violence in remote communities. And half an hour ago, we had Lydia Thorpe talking about broader issues in terms of social justice for Aboriginal communities. But the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner, June Oscar, argues that a representative body would deliver better policy and better outcomes for First Nations people. RN Breakfast host Patricia Carvelis caught up with June Oscar at the Garma Festival in northeast Arnhem Land.
June Oscar, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello and thank you, Patricia.
A voice is now very much on the table. The Prime Minister has provided wording even for what that proposition would be. But we keep hearing from some voices that the priority should be on women and children, violence in communities. What's your answer to that critique?
Look, I think that is something that I've said and many others have said. Look, we're dealing with some of those huge, real issues in our communities right now through our organisations, through partnerships with government and others around the response to those issues. And we should continue to work on them. But we're talking about something very new, very different, very unique here that we also need to deal with. And I think with the conversations around the aspirations of the proper acknowledgement of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the founding document of this land to be acknowledged, to be recognised, is something that will help in our response to these other priorities that we have, that we've been dealing with every day for years and years and years. So I think we're very capable of doing both. But the better representation and presence of us as the country's first peoples to be acknowledged in the rule book of this country is something that we've not dealt with before.
What do you make of the question that the Prime Minister has put forward? Is that the way we should go forward? He asks a very simple question. The Parliament would be able to change the body and do what it likes with the body. Is that okay in your view?
Well, I think what we should be hearing is, here's an opportunity for us to sit together and co-design and co-decide what that question is and what that means in terms of its interactions with all of these structures and mechanisms. That should not be something that is decided upon by one side of the partnership. I think it's an opportunity to do things very differently.
Are you worried about a no campaign and the impact that its potential success, obviously referendums are very difficult to pass, may have on your community that has already suffered so much?
Well, I think there's always the concern about this uncertainty. And that really means for us, for all of us, is to really think through what it is and how it is that we inform every Australian about what this process is about. That this is about creating the change that we so desperately need in our country, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, to be able to provide this opportunity for us to deal with the unfinished business, to be able to help educate people that they should not be threatened by this, that those who may have a belief and a sense of denial in what the truth is in terms of the history and our presence in our country, I think there's opportunities here for us to really consider how effectively we ensure that people are informed, that we do get, you know, the results that we were desiring in a majority vote, yes. So there's a whole lot of work that we need to do. And we need to understand what these fears are. And we need to be honest and transparent. And those who hold those fears should be able to speak and put those truths in front of us. This is the time for truth-telling. This is the time to be really hearing each other and responding to each other. Here is an opportunity for all of us.
How do you think it will change the nation?
Well, my hope is that it will change the nation for the better, that we can live in a country where we have been part of a process that's been respectful, that allowed us to be engaging in it through clearly understanding where this is taking us. And I think Australia can pride itself in the context of the world that we have the maturity, we have the responsibility to provide a country that is respectful and inclusive so that our children and our grandchildren can benefit from our decision. And I think this is the time that we start on that journey.
You've also published this report on women and girls. There is another process next. You're going to reveal a date for a big summit in Canberra next year in May. How do you link these two processes? Because they actually might be happening at the same time. What role do you see for women and girls in all of this?
Well, as I've said on many occasions, that the voices of First Nations women and girls have been excluded from many of these important national engagements and dialogues. I know that First Nations women and girls have had input into the 13 dialogue sessions across the country in regards to the Uluru Statement and the conversations around the voice. And I know there's more conversations to be had with many more people, and that is continuing. But with the summit of the We Yaniyu Dangani and the Women's Voices Project that I've been leading, here's an opportunity for bringing 500 plus Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and girls who have said, this is what we want to see happen, that we come to Canberra and we face the politicians and the people of influence and speak to them about our aspirations, our lived realities, and the solutions we hold for some of these very critical issues that impact us on a daily basis. We know what and how we can influence the change that we need to in our communities, in our lives. But we need to be given these opportunities for you to hear our voice. So I think it's complementary, it's reinforcing, and it will be the first time that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and girls have been supported to speak to their truth and to present to Australia a national framework for action based on First Nations women's gender justice and equality.
Just final question, as we move towards this great momentous change, you have watched a lot of attempts at big change in this country for reconciliation. Do you think something's changed in Australia, not only as a result of the election, I'm talking more broadly, in the culture? Do you think there is more of an appetite to move in this truth-telling direction?
I think there's been many Australians that have been part of all of these processes in the history of our country, the bridge walks, the understanding the issues around the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families, bringing them home, and all of these issues that have been brought to the front in terms of giving voice to these issues. And so I think there's been an opportunity here for many people to reach an understanding and these people are better informed, Australians are better informed about these issues, and the sense of restlessness that exists in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's lives around the impacts and the way in which people have been carrying the burden and the weight of these experiences through generations. So we have been on a long educational journey, and I think people now appreciate that Australians appreciate now that we must address this, and we want to be a part of this. And I've seen many, many decent Australians pledging their support, their personal commitments to be part of changing the narrative in this country for the better.
June Oscar, thank you.
Thank you, PK.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner June Oscar there talking to Patricia Carvelis.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.